Off the Ball.
In association with AIR. Watch 35 live European Rugby Champions Cup games this season on the AIR Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome back. We can hear about another goal this evening. Let's go over to Nigel Bidmead. He's at Vicarage Road.
Watford 0, Manchester United 1, and it's a Watford old boy who has got the goal against the run of play. Ashley Young with a snapshot from just inside the area. Good turn from Lukaku and a good gather from Lingard also in the move. It's Watford 0, Manchester United 1.
A good strike, Kev.
Yeah, very good strike. He didn't really necessarily get hold of the ball too well. It was Jesse Lingard on the inside right channel, played it across the penalty area, and Young didn't quite get hold of it, and he sat up a little bit from him. He had to hit it on the half volley down into the ground, struck it brilliantly into the corner. Gomez, no chance.
So, elsewhere this evening, as mentioned just before the break, Leicester are 1-0 up on Spurs. It was Jamie Vardy with a really
class,
brilliant goal.
I said it was Fuchs, it wasn't. It was Albrighton with the cross into him, but what a lovely finish, yeah. Great goal.
Now, we're hoping Mr. and Mrs. Fuchs are cradling their newborn baby around now. Rushed into hospital. Mrs. Fuchs, well, not rushed, I've added a sense of danger to the whole thing, but she's gone into labour.
Right.
And Christian said, "Gaffer, I'm off." Is that frowned upon now these days?
Not really now, no. I think it's expected, isn't it now? I think most would try to be with the wife when they're giving birth, or partner when they're giving birth, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not frowned upon, no.
No. Oh, I hope so. As is right, but I think, you know, John Giles back in his day, it would have been.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Where do you think you're going?
I'll be judging you in a few years, Joe. That's how it'll be, yeah. Hopefully, anyway.
So the latest elsewhere then, West Brom 0, Newcastle 0, as we heard, Manchester United 1, Watford 0, Leicester City 1-0 up, courtesy of that brilliant goal. And it's 0 all between Brighton and Crystal Palace. It's also 0 all between Netherlands and Republic of Ireland in the second half there. Andy Lee has popped into the studio. Hello.
Hey, Joe.
We got you to watch the Jamie Vardy goal in the ad break. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. Very good.
We're not exaggerating.
Kevin, great explanation. I didn't have to see it because
he felt like he was there. You're waffling now, honestly. Yeah. No, I'm not doing that.
Just the Ashley Young goal, what I liked about it, he did celebrate against a former club.
Good shout, actually.
Which, you see all these muted celebrations now.
Yeah, what do you think of Mo Salah at the weekend? And he plays about 10 games for Chelsea.
No, but a terrorism attack the day before.
Yeah, that's. Oh. Initially, I was like, come on, you got to celebrate this. Chelsea, they insulted you. But then I realized it was
a tribute to
Egypt, which is.
There you go.
There you go. Well, now, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You should have let him hammer on about Mo Salah being a bad guy there.
So Eric Donovan is on OTB AM this morning because he's fighting at the weekend. We've spoken to Eric a few times of late since he's embarked on his professional career, and he's a brilliantly interesting fella, great guy, and he's fighting El Pitbull Juancho Gonzalez at the weekend. People can go along, I'm sure, still, and maybe pay in on the evening, probably. So it's his third fight of 2017. And we were surprised to see, because we hadn't realised this, that his coach for this camp has been none other than Andy Lee. So how did this come about?
Eric's coach, Don Maroc, is now the president of the Irish Amateur Boxing Association and could no longer work with him because his professional boxing can't be associated with professional boxing. So Eric was kind of, you know, in a jam, in a tight place, and haven't really worked with anybody outside of Dama Rock besides me, because I was very encouraging of Eric going professional at the time a few years ago, and when he was thinking about it, and we'd done a few sessions, like even while he was with Dom, we'd meet up the odd time and do a session together, and I'd just be showing him little things that I had picked up along the way. And so he asked me to help him out. And he asked me to be his coach, and I said, look, I don't know if I can be your coach, but I'll definitely help you out. And especially for this fight, I'll give you, you know, my time, and we'll work together. And I've really enjoyed it. He's responded very well. And he has a you know, wealth of experience from his amateur background. So it's not like he's a raw novice and I'm have to drill everything down and break everything down to it. You know, I can show him something, and within 3 or 4 attempts, he can usually have it down. Or sometimes within 1 attempt, he can have it down. So he's an easy student for my first, you know, for my first pupil. He's a good one.
And have you had coaching ambitions for a long time?
No, even now I'm helping Eric. I don't know if I will continue to be a coach.
Mm. Oh,
after
sorry.
This.
Sorry, what a free kick. Sorry, Andy, I'm really sorry, but what a
Is
goal.
Ashley Young,
what a free kick.
Wow. He's on fire.
He's curled that from about the centre of the goal, give or take, about 25 yards out into the top left.
Brilliant goal. Brilliant, brilliant goal. He's on fire, the lad.
Yeah. So 2-0 Manchester United, 26 minutes gone. So it hasn't been something that you've been desperate to do. You got asked here, the timing's okay.
Yeah.
You know, Eric, a long time.
Like, people always say, what are you going to do when you retire? Will you stay in boxing? Will you coach? Will you manage? And I've always kind of been indifferent to it. I've never had a great desire to do it, but I've helped Eric and I've been enjoying it. And he's doing well now. Saturday night, training is fine, but Saturday night brings a different prospect because I will be the chief second in the corner. You know, I'll be the main man giving him instructions. And
something you've never done before, presumably.
Yeah, I've done it once a long time ago. Okay. A guy called Tony Harrison, who was trained by Emmanuel Stewart, was fighting on the Klitschko undercard, and Emmanuel being busy with Klitschko asked me to go out and just do his corner. So I wrapped his hands and got him ready. But he was fighting the guy and he knocked the guy out with one punch. You know, so I kind of Emmanuel kind of knew that's the way the fight was going to go. So okay. that was where it was like just go out and
He's
be
not
in his corner.
Relying on Andy to tactically turn this around. I'm not
without giving too much away, but how have you structured your week and how have you structured the whole training plan? What have you done in your own head to try and get him right for him?
No, it's been difficult because Eric is quite busy himself in terms of he does a lot of media work and he coaches people with classes and does a lot of speaking outside of boxing. So, and obviously it's well published now. I have a 5 month old baby at home, so we're just scheduling things around each other. So it's been 11 to 2 every day that this is training and we'll meet here and this is what we do. We've been training for about 5 weeks and we've done, I would say, maybe 15 to 20 sessions together.
Yeah.
And he's done three or four spars. He had a really good spar on Saturday. We were out in Teller in the Westside Boxing Club and he did 8 rounds with 2 different fellas. And he's ready now. He's peaking. This week we're just tapering down and we met today and we'll train tomorrow after the AM show here. He's in tomorrow morning. Mm. We'll train tomorrow. And I've watched Eric's fights, so I'd go to a lot of his fights and watch him, and I could see things where he can improve and how he could become more of a professional boxer, you know. And
because I saw you say that he needs to fight with more of a professional style, but not change too much of what he does well. He's a good southpaw, he's a good boxer. I'm not going to try and make him into a fighter.
Yeah.
So you obviously differentiate between a boxer and a fighter.
Yeah. To me, he just needed to be a little bit more explosive. He still needs to build on that. That's going to come, but that'll take maybe a year or two to where he can be. So we've been just doing bag drills where he just, for 10 seconds of the round, for 10 seconds of every 30 seconds, he'll just rip the bag with both hands where there's no consideration for technique, where he'll just almost street fight.
Right.
And we've been doing different circuits where it's explosive, short and sharp. And then also adding different things like defense and emotional calmness when being a boxer, and I know this because this was something I had to adjust to, but when you're a boxer and you like things at long range, when your back's at the rope and your opponent gets into your range and gets close, there's a panic. It's almost like a tightening of the chest and you want to get out and get back to the center of the ring. And so what I've been working with Eric is encouraging him to get himself into those positions in sparring where his back is to the ropes and he can be calm in there and just take an approach kind of mentally that, come on, bring it on. Mm. Let me see what you have, throw your punches and I'll coolly and calmly deal with it. And I've been just showing him little moves that to enable him to do that.
Okay, such as
blocking and rolling and tying his opponent up. That's something that's never done. Like, it's obviously it's not encouraged in amateur boxing. You get warned very severely, very early for any, but in professional boxing, it's
part of the trade.
It's not frowned upon. It's encouraged. For me, it's a good tactic because it breaks up your opponent's rhythm. He gets frustrated. He finally gets into a position where he can let his hands go, where he wants to get you, and then you just tie him up and walk to the center of the ring, and he has to start building again.
Do you know, you talk about that there on the bag and you let him go for 30 seconds. I've never heard that. I've seen a lot of the pre-fight documentaries that have gone on for years now where they've started to become a bit of a big thing. I've never even heard that mentioned. And I stumble across, I like watching all the old fights on YouTube. I was watching Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard first fight the other night. Unbelievable. Yeah. That sort of thing was a regular occurrence throughout that fight. It was literally toe-to-toe stuff. And I suppose you say the unbelievable technique within the fight from both fighters, but at times it was very much that 30 second, just who is literally going to hit each other the hardest for the longest sustained period. So how do you try and transfer that sort of fight, that sort of maybe spell through a fight to try and get out with the technique of boxing then within that?
It's a different energy. Like you see two guys having a street fight and they're just letting their hands go. There's nothing. They're just pure rage. That's a different. That's like a fight energy. And those guys will burn out after 30 seconds. They'll be on doubled over with their hands on their knees, breathing. You know, and unless you train that and train, like unless you build that energy and train that energy in training, if you have to like it's not going to be there if you have to tap into it. So with Eric, we've been steadily like building that. And first of all, it was 5 second drills, you know, every 30 seconds, then 10 seconds. And up to the end, we were throwing in the other 20 seconds where he would just let his hands go. He would just rip. Mm. Sometimes you need that in a fight because sometimes, like when you're a technical boxer like Eric and like myself, when you're just boxing, it's all very measured. It's very, you know, thoughtful. It's very cool. And you're just thinking, you're just navigating your way around the ring. But then you find yourself in a firefight almost. And you had to have you had to have that in the tank, you know. Yes. No, it's a different energy.
So it's not necessarily him going nuts on the bags as United have gone 3-0 up here. It looks like, Martial, it's against Watford. I'll give you the other scores just as we're waiting for that replay. Kev, you can keep an eye on that one. It's nil all between Brighton and Crystal Palace. 1-0 to Leicester against Spurs. West Brom and Newcastle is nil all. And so it's Martial. He was played through edge of the 18-yard line and
just passes it into the net. Yeah. Lovely finish from him, really. One on one with Gomez, but just passes it into the corner. Lovely finish.
He can make those finishes look very easy.
Yeah,
it's still nil all between Netherlands.
Talk of Real Madrid for him this week as well. Actually,
Republic of Ireland, really.
Yeah.
Okay. 3-0 Manchester United. So back to Andy Lee and Eric Donovan. When you have him doing his explosive 30 seconds in the bag, then based on what you've just said, it's not so much building up his power. I mean, he can build up the power in other ways, I presume. It's actually about giving him the gas to get used to all out, empty the tank for 30 seconds and get used to that from a cardio point of view almost.
Yeah, and the cardio. Yeah, it's really cardio, but it's also strength
touch
as well.
Power
yeah,
as well.
Touch
okay.
of power.
Everything.
Yeah, and it almost, like I said, it's an energy, but it builds up like that kind of spite in you. You know that if someone hits you or a guy's trying to fire at you and you're back, you can just bite down and let your hands go, a la Duran Leonard.
Yeah.
You know, like those guys had huge egos and for them to get hit was almost like an insult.
Yeah.
So if you hit me, like they want to fire straight
back. Do you watch back those old fights yourself personally
to yourself?
Yeah.
It's an
unbelievable fight. That the first time I've really I've seen the highlights of that fight. I've never really watched it. And I watched the first round and I was just glued to it.
The level of skill and fitness, like if you just think about boxing and from both guys, that's kind of, it had every aspect of boxing that you would want to see in terms of, you can list them off, you know, skill, tenacity, determination, everything, you know, it just had it all.
I have a ton of questions, we both do really, about the art of coaching when it comes to boxing. So
I know.
We're going to fire these at you and you can give your best, most thoughtful answers.
I'll slip and slide.
No, yeah, you dodge and then Kev will open up for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So you start off with Manny Stewart, obviously, who's a legend, 41 world champions.
Yeah.
His first in 1969. So, like, he's a legend, clearly. And then you've worked with Adam Booth. So, I guess a reasonable analogy maybe to use at the start might be football. So, because in football in particular, field sports, maybe fitness has changed so much over the decades, that changes tactically what managers have available to them. They can now ask different things of different players. And so the tactics evolve quite rapidly. So quite often in football, you will hear it said of a manager, oh, well, he's old school. The game has passed him by, might be the key phrase. The game's passed him by tactically. Does that apply to boxing? Could boxing ever pass by Manny Stewart's brain?
I don't know about... definitely not boxing.
The tactics of
not what happens in a ring.
Okay.
But what happens outside the ring, maybe in terms of the conditioning.
Yeah, yeah. So if Manny Stewart hires an S&C coach, looks after your kind of your conditioning, but actually the tactics that are available to you in a ring, have they changed dramatically from the fight Kev's just mentioned?
I don't think so.
Right.
It's still two guys in there with gloves. Now it's 12 rounds. It used to be 15 rounds and that's the only change, really. I think I don't like if a fight is conditioned to do 12 rounds. I don't think there's any change. I don't think there's been any real, like, if you look at fighters maybe back in the 20s and 1900s, they had a different technique, they had a different style. Mm. I'm not sure how those guys would match up.
The,
yeah,
the pace of that fight seems a lot quicker than, mm, than I would be. It seemed a lot more technical now. That's the one thing, if I'm watching, two fighters, mm, I've rarely seen a fight of that ilk in a while. Like, you know, we're two, obviously, right at the top of the game, two of the very best, yeah, fighting like that with that pace and intensity for 15 yeah rounds it was then.
Like, across all sports, I guess it is, but boxing has become a lot about power. In some ways, you know, to the skill has been kind of pushed aside, and guys like Emmanuel Stewart, they're not valued as much as they used to be, because right, they don't do, like, I'm not sure Emmanuel Stewart, if he was alive today, would probably still be on top of the game. I think, you know, like, I know Emmanuel would always clash heads with strength and conditioning coaches who were brought into camps.
Okay.
Never really valued them. He thought, like, to Emmanuel, your conditioning was your sparring. Like, for me, if I was in the Kronk gym, I'd go in, I'd get my hands wrapped, I'd warm up a couple of rounds, shadow boxing, and then I would spar. And that could be 4 rounds, it could be 8 rounds, it could be 10 rounds. But that was the bulk of my training. And then I'd come out, hit the bags, do some sit-ups, skip, maybe do some sit-ups, and then I'd be done.
Okay.
And the emphasis or the onus was very much put on the fighters, you know, in terms of how much they wanted to run outside of that or do in the gym outside of that. But I believe nowadays, because everyone is doing it, I think you have to do more. You have to do more of the conditioning, you know?
Sure, that's changed.
Like, compare Adam Booth to, like, when I was with Emmanuel for those years, and then when I went to Adam Booth, I wasn't fit enough to do the training almost. I had to get fit to do the training with Adam, because he pushes you so hard in terms of the conditioning, as well as the technique as well, you know? And I think Adam has a good blend of the technique in box. Some guys are completely fitness coaches. You know, you have coaches who will get you super, super fit, but they can't show you how to throw a jab or to block a jab, you know? I wouldn't like to insult anybody by naming them, but I can think of a few off the top of my head, you know? But I think Adam has the best. I think for this day and age of boxing, you know, yes, in the 80s and 90s, Emmanuel was probably the best. But he would probably have to adjust if he was, you know, still coaching today.
What about the psychology side of it then? Do fighters now go and see psychologists more? Would they work on that sort of side of it, the mental preparation for a fight, than perhaps it might have been maybe 20, 30 yeah, years ago
I
as
think
well?
I think some do, but I don't think it's as popular as it is within other sports.
Yeah.
I think the coach, a good coach, and I know, well, I can only speak from working with Emmanuel and with Adam, they are psychologists in themselves. You know, they see you day to day, and they're yeah dealing with you day to day, and they almost know when you need to pick up.
It sounds like it's almost as if Manny Stewart was ahead of the game then in that respect as well.
He was, yeah. Like I live with Emmanuel, and obviously he was the HBO commentator, so I would travel with him all over America and outside of America. And from the moment he woke up, he was talking boxing, thinking boxing, taking calls from different guys about boxing, different reporters, different fighters. And he would always be relaying it back to me and just always drilling, it is a philosophy. And it was like, for him, it was a way of life. And just imparting what his thoughts on boxing and became my thoughts on boxing, you know, in that sort of a way.
Yeah. Is it possible to even verbalize what his thoughts on boxing were? Like, for instance, again, use the bad football analogy, which is not totally direct, but, you know, we could watch a team and maybe spot a Sam Allardyce team. In boxing, are certain coaches going to put a certain style on a fighter regardless of his or her strengths, or are like the coaches you worked under, will they almost kind of react to what a fighter can do for them? Or does that vary across the sport?
Well, Emmanuel's style of boxing was fight tall. Like, if you're tall, fight tall. Don't crouch. Don't go below your opponent's waist or sit low in your legs. Fight tall. Use your jab. Oh, like, the first thing is your jab, and build a rhythm from your jab.
That's what you did with Lennox Lewis, isn't
yeah
it?
Yeah, and balance, rhythm, and go for the knockout. Like, Emmanuel was, like, he loved knockouts. It was, yeah, like, and
that was the Kronk gym.
That was the Kronk mentality, thing, yeah. And he loved knockouts, and I think he encouraged it because people people want to see knockouts, and his fight was all entertaining, and he, like, from the moment, like, he would always be showing you in on the pads and outside of the ring, showing you techniques and little tricks and how to knock a guy out, and that was...
Can you explain, is there one any trick that works well on radio that you can sort of describe?
Just hitting him, like, with Emmanuel, compared to Adam. Yeah. Adam's knockouts come from your power and your condition and your speed. But with Emmanuel, would be with trickery in terms of hitting an opponent with a punch he didn't see, you know, and blinding him with one hand and punching him with the other in terms of holding it above it. Hold, like Thomas Hearns, you've seen how many knockouts Thomas Hearns got. Thomas Hearns would hold his left hand out in the jabbing position and cover his opponent's left eye. And then he comes behind it with a different pace and a different power, the right hand will come. And as he's pulling his left hand back, before you get a chance to see it, the right hand is coming, you know, and it's hitting you and you're knocked out.
Okay, so there's a real artistry
to that. Yeah, and throwing punches at different speeds, one slow, then one sharp and fast, or throwing punches with different power, and like getting a guy used to being touched with soft power, soft, 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 and all of a sudden, when he's not looking, bang, lights out.
How much is the natural talent then nurtured? And with these little techniques that's brought in around that then?
Yeah, Emmanuel would never, like, I could see Emmanuel training from my time in the gym. Different guys would come and go. Great fighters like, you know, Jermaine Taylor, Chad Dawson, like all high-profile world champions. And Emmanuel would never try to change them. He'd always try just to add to what they already had. But I could see what, like, some found it very hard to adjust to what Emmanuel, because he wouldn't try to change them. You know, he would just give them enough for themselves, like a little bit, not try to totally rewrite them. Whereas Adam definitely has a style of boxing.
Okay,
Adam Booth.
So you're fitting into the Booth philosophy.
Yeah, it's definitely, and it's Adam's style is, to me, it's pressure with the legs. It's good balance. It's almost like being an aggressive counterpuncher where you pressure the guy with your legs, and maybe draw a punch from him. You slip and then you counter with power.
Did you, even when you're fighting under Adam, I presume you still have Manny Stewart's voice in your head at times?
All the time, yeah.
Okay, so
all
the time, yeah. So what kind of stuff is he saying to you in the ring?
Sometimes it'll just be like, you know, something that you'll be in a spar and you'll be finding it difficult or even in a fight, and something will just click, like a simple combination that you, and it'll work, you know, and it's just something that Emmanuel had said to me.
Yeah.
Something that he'd have drilled in. Because with Emmanuel on the pads, we'd always have like maybe 7 or 8 combinations, and we just worked those all the time.
Okay.
At a high pace.
And that was your arsenal.
Yeah, the most rounds I ever did in my life with Adam, or with Emmanuel, was 4 rounds. Because after that, I was like at my max, because it was such a hard pace, and the 2 pad work with Emmanuel was like having a spar or having a fight. It was...
Yeah, and so like these seven or eight combinations that Manny Stewart basically downloads onto your brain forevermore, are they 7 or 8 combinations that would be recognisable as Manny Stewart combinations, or would they be across the world of boxing, everyone has them?
Yeah, everyone would have them, okay. But he would definitely have worked them with a lot of his fighters. But it's Emmanuel Stewart fighters always, like what Emmanuel would always drill would be a tail end jab, and that means like, after you finish up your combination against your opponent, say it's a 1-2 hook, and then while he's still reorganizing, you hit him with a jab, and that's a tail end jab, because there's a rhythm that, like, once a fighter, there's a rhythm that gets established in a fight when two guys, they're jabbing the jab, and then they have an exchange, then they go back to jabbing and jabbing, and then they have an exchange, you know, and you'd see it over fights, every fight almost. And what he'd always encourage is that while you're jabbing, then you have an exchange, get back to jabbing. It's like finish every combination with a jab, a tail end jab.
Okay.
And that's just one, like there's an innumerable things that he, like I could list off, but that was one of them, you know. And well, I've been doing it with Eric, so I want to see
that's
it.
That's amazing.
I want to see it.
Okay. So, and had Eric done the tail end jab before?
No, I don't think so, no.
Right,
well,
okay.
I want to see it on Saturday night now.
What have you tried to, of course you've trying to incorporate probably both trainers then. So what... Without wishing to maybe downplay any one of the trainers, which of the techniques you said that Adam Booth is probably more suited to a modern day fighter? Are you trying to maybe use his style more with Eric, or would you try and use both as much as you can?
Yeah, I think I've used both. I think Giving Eric that the explosiveness and the kind of free, making him more three-dimensional would have been from Adam's influence.
Yeah.
But some of the little tricks I've been showing him, and I was just telling him today, like Emmanuel Lush always told me that always try your man, your opponent, in the first 30 seconds of a fight. He said the easiest time to knock somebody out is in the first 30 seconds because they haven't adjusted to being punched yet. Like they haven't, you know, kind of acclimatized to taking a shot and haven't felt your power. So he would always encourage you to go out there and throw a couple of jabs and then just try him. He'd always say, try your man in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Mm. And I was just telling Eric that today. You know? I was like, get us home, get out of here early.
I don't have to speak to you between rounds, which is something you'll potentially have to do. So I presume you're backing yourself in so much as you can to be able to analyze a fight in real time and be able to give him some good, calm, constructive criticism. Certainly your recent appearances in Sky Sports, which everybody all over Twitter seemed to be in love with, would suggest that you can do that very well. You can see a fight, analyze it pretty quickly in real time.
I know, but it will be. I'm probably more nervous for this fight, for Eric's fight, than I would be for my own fights because it's a different role and not one I'm experienced in. But especially when you're emotionally invested as well, because he's a good friend of mine, you know. Sure. So I will be nervous for him, but I just have to try and just see what. Like, I've studied his opponent. Like, I've probably watched his opponent way more than he has, because he said he's only watched him a few times, but I've been watching him every couple of days.
Yeah.
And so, as well as adding those things that we've mentioned earlier, we've been tailoring his training and his techniques for the opponent he's fighting. He's a southpaw he's fighting, and he's a tough guy. He fights with a lot of tenacity, like he's coming to win. You know, some of the, like I told Eric today, this will be your hardest fight since you've been an amateur. So he better be prepared. You know, he's not like early in his career, Eric would have just fought guys, and it happens with everyone's career, where you hit them a few shots and they would have fell over. Or, you know, they would have got discouraged very easily. But this guy won't get discouraged very easily. He'll come to fight. And I think Eric knows that though, and we'll see on Saturday.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a really nice blend then, if you do want to go into coaching, of the modern day approach of Adam Booth with, I guess, the artistry, the kind of the old school boxing tricks of the trade of Manny Stewart, and you could mesh them together.
Well, it doesn't always translate. You know, it doesn't always translate that guys who've been great fighters or good fighters can be great coaches. No, it doesn't. And one good thing about now is that I can still demonstrate to Eric. If I can't explain it to him or you know, verbalize it, I can just put on the gloves and show him, you know.
Just do this. Yeah. But listen to you over the years as well. Listen to your chat about the fight. You've studied so many different fighters over the years. You've watched so many different fights. Who were the fighters then that you would have tried to watch the most and just trying to take little bits from and maybe admired the most, I suppose, as well?
Roy Jones Jr., for me, I was growing up, he was the man, you know, and I could, like, he's talented, and I would never had that kind of speed or reflexes, not reflex, but, you know, just that kind of slick style. But Roy Jones was my favourite. Ronald Winky Wright, whatever, and he was a southpaw, and I remember he travelled to England and beat all the English guys back in the 90s, so he would have been one I would have grew up watching. But then my older brothers as well, they were both boxers and southpaws, so I followed them, you know. But like I watched all the Kronk fighters, and then to be there training beside them, you know, and Thomas Hearns doing my corner for sparring, it was surreal, you know.
Yes, Mr. Hearns. No,
yeah,
Mr.
I know,
Hearns.
Yeah. He asked to spar me one day and I didn't.
Oh, no. Oh, you should have.
No, I couldn't.
You lasted one round with him, yeah?
No. He must have been 58 at the time, you know, and I was like, whatever, 24. I would have been. I said, no, I couldn't.
I knocked out Hearns.
I had too much respect for the man. Hold him in too much reverence.
Was he good to you?
Yeah, he was. He was a funny, like. He was always like, he was actually very funny, you know.
Right.
Yeah, actually very funny and always quick with a joke and kind of a practical joker. And I sparred his son a lot, Ronald Hearns. We used to spar a lot together, yeah. Right.
So Thomas Hearns is a regular in that gym
he's come down to the gym and just people, you know, make a big deal out of him. Proper Detroit, old school, crawl up in a big Cadillac and, you know, big suit, big fur coat, hat on, class. You know?
Low key.
Yeah, no, no.
Well, listen, that all sounds great. So the best of luck on Saturday.
If people want to come down, I'm sure they can get tickets. It's in the National Stadium.
Right.
There's a couple of good fights on the undercard. Jared Whitehouse, crank. Jared Whitehouse is fighting Jay Byrne, who Jay Byrne might know because he's fought on Sky a few times. And so that would be a good domestic dust-up. That's for the Celtic-Irish title. So. And there's another couple of fights. So, yeah, it would be a good night of fights and, you know, it's a good time of the year and have a night out after it. Yeah.
Right. Well, the very best of luck. Eric Donovan is on OTB AM with the lads tomorrow from 7:45 on Facebook Live and Periscope. So you can catch Eric talking about the fight there, dishing the dirt on Andy Lee's coaching. And the best of luck to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Good man. Thanks, Andy.
Off the ball on Newstalk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.